Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. It's certainly good to see you this evening. I would agree wholeheartedly with Brother Ray. It certainly has been a wonderful day, and we are thankful for the fellowship that we have been able to enjoy with one another. You know, as we think about the two letters that were written by the Apostle Peter, we see from 1 Peter chapter 1 that he was addressing several congregations, the area of Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And what we were able to do today was something that they were able to do as brethren. And this was actually brought out in a study from the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 13, as Peter talks about their love feast, when they would come together as the body and to be able to have a meal with one another. I think it's really neat to be able to see this in Scripture and to see how brethren would eat one another and spend time with one another. And that's exactly what we've been able to do today. And it's certainly a blessing to be with the people of God. But you know, as we put that verse in its context, one of the things that these congregations were struggling with in this area was with false teachers. And when you look at verse 13 very carefully, these false teachers were creeping in unawares. They were participating in their love feast. When the people came together to share a meal, these false teachers would creep in and use this as an opportunity to try to influence others, to pull them away from the Lord. And it was a horrible thing. As I was thinking about being able to meet with the brethren today and to share a meal, it was good to know that we don't have false teachers creeping in trying to disrupt the unity and to destroy the body of Christ. But that's exactly what was happening here in chapter 2. You know, as you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, as I've already said, this whole chapter has to do with false teachers. And there are two major points that really stand out in this chapter. Number one, how to recognize false teachers. And Peter gives us a portrait of these false teachers, what they look like, how they act. He talks about their motive. But the second major point that we see here in 2 Peter chapter 2 is how God thinks about false teachers, those who pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see throughout Scripture that God has strong words for those who pervert the gospel. I believe it's interesting. At the beginning, at the middle, and at the very end, God warns people about tampering with His Word. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6, and Revelation 22, 18 and 19, God says, don't add, don't take away from My Word. Again, He gives severe warning about tampering with His Word. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter talks about the judgment that will come upon those who tamper with His Word, upon those who deceive others from the truth. Now, we are looking at the very last section tonight here in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse number 20 down through verse number 22. But before we look at those verses, I just highlighted this a few minutes ago as I was thinking about this. And I want you to look at these verses with me, because I want you to see the severe warning God gives to those who tamper and mislead others from the truth of His Word. Beginning at chapter 2, we'll go through this very quickly. At the end of chapter 2, God talks about the swift destruction that will come upon false teachers. And then at the end of verse number 3, their damnation, He says, slumbereth not. Notice that again. Their destruction, their damnation. Drop down, if you would, down to verse number 9. He talks about being punished. Their punishment, their damnation. Peter continues, verse number 12, they shall perish. Again, speaking to false teachers, they shall perish. They shall be lost. Peter goes on in verse number 13 and verse number 14. He says that they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. This reminds me of what Paul said in Romans 1 verse number 18, where he will reveal his wrath upon those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. He then says in verse number 14, still describing these false teachers throughout this whole chapter, cursed children. Mm-hmm. Cursed children they are. And then in verse number 17, we see that darkness will be reserved for false teachers. Not a very pretty picture. And what you see in all this is God is very serious. God gives severe warning to those who tamper with His Word. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And we see that these false teachers, they prey, Peter says, on unstable souls in verse number 14, verse number 18. I think when you look at verse number 14 and also verse number 18, Peter is talking about new converts. Those who just escaped the pollution of this world. They don't know that much of God's Word, but they know enough to be saved. These false teachers are preying upon these individuals because they're easy prey. Their knowledge of God's Word is limited. And so these false teachers, they prey upon them with their lies, with their deceit. In fact, Peter says in verse number 17 concerning these false teachers, these are wells, listen to it, without water. You can imagine being thirsty, being in an area where there is no water, and you come up upon that well. It would be such a beautiful thing, and you were to lower that bucket. But if there was no water, it wouldn't be a good thing. Peter, the Holy Spirit, describes these false teachers as wells without water. The point that Peter is making is this. In their teaching and in their preaching, there's no meat. There is no substance. Beware of teachers who may stand behind the pulpit and preach fluff. They give no meat. There is no substance, no Scripture with their teaching. Beware of those who want to lay aside doctrine. There are a lot of people that just want to lay aside of doctrine. And this is how Peter describes these false teachers. Verse 18, they speak great swelling words of vanity. They sound good. They tickle people's ears. The Apostle Paul mentions something along the same lines in Romans chapter 16, verse number 18. And he talks about with their good, speaking about false teachers, with their good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Notice that again. With their good words, their fair speeches. Just because somebody may stand up and sound eloquent doesn't mean that they're a gospel preacher. It doesn't mean that they're preaching the Word of God. It reminds me of what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 2. Preach the Word. Our preaching needs to have some substance. It needs to have some meat, some Scripture concerning these false teachers. Peter says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Again, they promised them liberty. I believe Peter is highlighting Gnostic teachers. And you think about what Peter says throughout this whole chapter and how these false teachers have eyes of adultery and that they cannot cease from sin. We see that this whole context has a sexual connotation. And many of these false teachers who were Gnostics would teach people, you know what, it's okay to do whatever you want. Go ahead and satisfy the desires of the flesh. The flesh is evil and there's nothing that you can do about it. You read through 2 Peter and I believe it has that flavor of Gnosticism. Promising people liberty. Today you'll hear people talking about why they refuse to become a Christian. And really it goes along the same lines. I don't want to be a Christian because I don't want to be burdened down with all of these rules and with all of these laws. I want to be free. I want to be liberated. Well friends, we understand the foolishness of such statements because those who are living in the world, they're not free. They're not liberated. They are in bondage. In John 8 verse 36, the only way that a person can be free indeed is through Jesus Christ. By obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it sets us free. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth, the Word of God, and obedience to that Word will set you free." James talks about the Word of God as the perfect law, listen to it, of liberty. You see, the only way that a person can be free is by being submissive to the King. In Hebrews 5 verse 9, we learn that Jesus Christ became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Friends, if we want to be free, we have to be obedient to the King. And we have to serve the King faithfully as citizens of God's kingdom. But through their fair speeches and good words, these false teachers would promise people liberty, trying to pull them away from the gospel. But then Peter ends this section beginning at verse number 20, still talking about these false teachers. And these false teachers, and this is some of the most interesting language that you'll read in the New Testament, these false teachers are worse off now than if they had never known the way of righteousness, as Peter would say. They're worse off now. Listen to what Peter says. For if after they, in 2 Peter 2, verse number 20, goes back to the whole context of false teachers. Okay? Peter is still talking about these false teachers. He says, "For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them," Peter says, "than the beginning." And then in verse 21, he makes this statement that we just alluded to. "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness," Peter says, "than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Before we get into the graphic language of verse 22, let's make some comments about what we've just read, beginning at verse 20, coming down through verse number 21. What we can conclude is this. These false teachers that Peter is talking about here in chapter 2, at one time, they were faithful Christians. They escaped the pollutions of this world. Have you ever heard the English word miasma? Miasma? If you've heard that English word, guess what? You know a Greek word. You didn't even know it, okay? Miasma. Miasma is a poisonous vapor infecting the atmosphere. And it could be deadly. This is the Greek word here for the word pollutions. Peter says they've escaped the miasma, the pollutions of the world. I like what Peter is doing here in verse 20 because he is describing the pollutions of the world. And you think about the pollution of the world, the pollutions of the world give off, they give off a vapor, if you please, that can infect the soul and kill the soul, spiritually speaking. These false teachers at one time escaped the pollutions of the world. Notice how they did that. Through the knowledge. Knowledge is speaking about that body of truth that sets us free from the bondage of sin. Peter is alluding to the plan of salvation. When a person obeys the plan of salvation, again, they escape the world. They are set free from the pollution, the miasma of this world. But these false teachers, as we continue to look at this context, were once again entangled in the pollutions of this world. This reminds me of why the Apostle John would say, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life." You see, the devil is using those things to entice us, to lure us away from God. And he was very effective with these false teachers. These false teachers were overcome by the world like demons. You know, as you go through the New Testament, you read about a great soldier by the name of Demas. And many times in Paul's letters, he's talking about the work that Demas and Timothy and Epaphroditus are doing. Demas was right there next to Paul, having his hands to the plow. But you remember, Demas looked back. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10, Demas, having loved the present world, fell away from God. "Demas hath forsaken me," Paul says, loving this present world. What happened to Demas? He became entangled in the miasma of the world, the pollutions of this world. It happened to Demas. It happened to these false teachers. If we're not careful, if we're not on guard, it can happen to us. That's why James says that we're to keep ourselves unspotted from this world. Paul says in Romans 12, 1 through 2, "Be not conformed to this world." We're to come out from among the world and we're to keep ourselves separate from the world. We strive to walk in the Spirit, as we talked about this morning, that begins with love and peace and joy. We see that there's a war going on between the Spirit and the flesh. And if we don't have our guard on, if we're not paying attention to what we're doing spiritually speaking, we can be entangled again in the pollutions of the world, the things that we have escaped. And Peter says again, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. And I believe what Peter is emphasizing is the eternal regret of those who fall away from the Lord. Knowing that they could have been in a much better place. And it's so hard to understand that eternal regret. But I believe that's exactly what Peter is emphasizing. The eternal regret for those who obey the truth, became a Christian, but they turn their back on God. In Hebrews 10 verse 38, the writer says, "The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul," God says this, "my soul shall have no pleasure in that person." God takes no pleasure in a person who obeys the gospel, escaping the knowledge, being set free, to see them being entangled again and going back into the world and falling away from Him. You remember backsliding Israel? We've been studying about backsliding Israel in the book of Hosea. Israel went backwards, not forward. As the children of God, Philippians 3 verse 14, we are to be pressing toward the mark. We're to be heading toward that finish line so that we can have our eternal reward. The challenge to spiritual growth, chapter 2, is false teachers. And that's why we have to beware of false teachers and to beware of their false doctrine. And let me tell you why their false doctrine is so dangerous. You realize that so many in the religious world teach that you cannot fall from God's grace. A believer cannot lose his salvation. I want to turn to a context in the book of John. You can mark your spot there in 2 Peter. And I had several examples, but time is just not going to allow us to look at all of these examples. But I want to show you an example, and I'm going to read a statement that was made by a denominational preacher, okay, from John chapter 10, verse number 28. John chapter 10, verse number 28. Jesus says, "And I give unto them eternal life," and listen to what he says, "and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." This particular denominational preacher says from John 10, verse number 28, "No one can snatch his sheep from his hand." He goes on to explain to say that you cannot lose your salvation. If you're in Christ, you cannot lose your salvation. That you cannot fall from grace. Dear friends, the Bible teaches us that we can lose our salvation. We can fall from God's grace. But this is how people will take the Scriptures and they twist them to their own destruction. I want to show you something from the context. Just go up one verse. Just go up one verse and read verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice." By the way, this is in the present tense. "My sheep hear my voice, and my sheep continue to hear my voice, and I know them." And Jesus says, "My sheep follow me, and they continue to follow me." They continue to hear my voice, and my sheep continue to follow me. You see, as long as we are listening to Jesus, and as long as we're yoking ourselves with the teaching of Jesus Christ according to Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and as long as we're making the application and following Him, listen to it, we shall never perish. If we follow Him, if we yoke ourselves with His teaching, we shall never perish. We can have that blessed assurance of eternal salvation. And I need to know that I'm going to heaven. I need to know that. I need to have that assurance, and I can. But also need to know that I can fall away if I turn my back on God. I need to understand the danger of temptation and what the devil is trying to get me to do. He wants me to turn away from God. He wants me to think that I can never lose my salvation, period. We can lose our salvation if we're not faithful to God. I want to show you a couple of verses. If you would, go over to the book of Philippians. There are many passages we can look at, but I want to go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see that the Lord is going to encourage Euodias and Syntyche to be of the same mind. Look at verse number 3. "And I treat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers." Now listen to this. Philippians 4 verse 3, "whose names are written in the book of life." Do you realize that God has a book? It's called the book of life. And when you obey the gospel, when you become a Christian, your name is written in the book of life. I love that thought. I'm thankful for that thought, that truth. My name can be written in the book of life. We see that here in Philippians 4, verse 3. Now look at another passage, if you would, in the book of Revelation. Turn over, if you would, to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, and you see the same thing at the end of Revelation chapter 21. But here in Revelation 3, verse number 5, listen to what the Lord says. He that overcometh, the book of Revelation is about overcoming Satan, self, and sin. God says, you overcome those three things, Satan, self, and sin, you can come over and live with me forever. That's the message of the book of Revelation, a beautiful, beautiful truth. He that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment. Now watch it. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Our name is written in the book of life. Our name can also be removed from the book of life if we're not faithful. If, again, we're not faithful, we can lose our salvation if we're not faithful. Turn over, you would, to the book of Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Paul is dealing with the situation here in the book of Galatians. We have Christians who are wanting to go back to Judaism, wanting to go back to the old law. And listen to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen, Paul says, from grace. You cannot fall from something that you don't have. At one time they had grace. Paul says, if you go back to the old law, if you go back to Judaism, listen to the language. It's very simple. It's very clear. You can fall from grace. Look at another example from the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, as I said, there are many more verses, but this is such a familiar doctrine, accepted doctrine in the religious world that we need to be aware of, that we need to guard against. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says in verse number 27, he says, I keep under my body. Some translations, I buffet my body and I bring it into subjection. Paul understood the importance of walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I buffet my body and I bring it into subjection. Here's why. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be castaway, some translations, disqualified. Paul understood that if he turned his back on God, he would be disqualified. He wouldn't be able to finish that race, as he talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, to receive that crown of victory. Paul understood the importance of being faithful and being true and loyal to God. By living within the doctrine of Christ, because he didn't want to become disqualified. Next chapter. Listen to the exhortation that Paul gives in verse number 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh, listen to it, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Take heed lest he fall. Paul says, you can fall. These false teachers that we're reading about here in chapter 2, verse number 20, they fell away from the truth. At one time they were faithful, but they fell away from the truth. And notice how Peter ends with this graphic language in verse number 22, but it happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is returned, quoting Proverbs 26, verse 11. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed who were wallowing in the mire. I know what the world says about dogs. A dog is your best friend. But do you realize the Bible uses the word dog 40 times and always in a negative connotation? The Bible never says anything positive about dogs. It's a byword. And here you see how it is being used, because it's a gross thing. To see what a dog does, if a dog had a conscience, it wouldn't do that. But he is using that graphic language, that graphic imagery, to help us understand, to help us see what it looks like when somebody obeys the gospel and turns their back on it and goes back into the world. It's a horrible thing. It's a gross thing. God doesn't want us to return back into the world. He wants us to be faithful. And what I want to leave with you tonight is this. We can know. We can have that assurance that we are saved. Think of all of the passages that we looked at tonight that mention the word fall. I want to see, notice it here in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. We've noticed this already, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10, is such an encouraging section of Scripture. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Please underline this. Please circle this. It's easy to miss. For if. That little word if is such an important part of this verse. For if these things, the things that he's already talked about, the Christian virtues of being faithful, being knowledgeable, being committed, having self-control, being patient, being godly, practicing brotherly kindness, putting on love, for if these things be in you, Peter says, you can make your calling and election sure. Notice what he says. Ye shall never fall. If you do these things, if you are faithful, God wants us to know the assurance that we can have. I can leave here tonight. I can go home and put my head upon my pillow, and my sleep can be sweet knowing that I'm a child of God, knowing that I'm faithful to God. If He was to return tonight, that would be okay because of my faithfulness. It's faithfulness that gives us assurance. But we have to beware. And we have to understand what God is saying. If we turn our back on Him, if we're not growing, if these Christian virtues are not evident in our life, we can, same context of chapter 1, Peter says we can develop spiritual myopia. We can get to the point that we lose our spiritual perception, and we can even forget about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's such a horrible thing, as we see here in 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 through 22, as Peter describes these false teachers who fell away from the truth. As you know, I've been preaching for some time, and I have seen gospel preachers. Preachers that could stand up here and shell it out. That were faithful, bold. They loved the gospel, but they fell away from the truth. I've seen preachers. I've seen elders. I've seen members. It can happen. And that's why God wants us to take heed unto ourselves. And the greatest way that we can do that is by looking at ourselves spiritually speaking, taking spiritual inventory, examining ourselves, being honest with ourselves, and challenging ourselves to be faithful to God, to stay within the book of God, and to follow it, and to treasure it, and to love it, to follow the teachings of Jesus, to truly yoke ourselves. Oh, if we will have that kind of determination, I promise you, heaven will be our home, and we won't fall away from the truth if we're faithful to God. Thank God that He has given us the resources that we need to be faithful to Him. Everything that we need to know pertaining to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 verse 3, can be found here in the book that we call the Bible. The word Bible, basic instruction before leaving earth. You see what God is doing? He's preparing us for something so much better. Let's be faithful. Let's receive that promise. Let's receive that inheritance. And whatever sacrifice you have to make to be faithful, I promise you it'll be worth it. In eternity, you won't regret it. You'll be thankful that you were committed, that you were faithful, even when you made sacrifices to be faithful. Heaven will be worth it all. The lesson is yours. If you need to